Clock.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MJ.
And the countdown continues. NRL Grand Final week. Getting you ready for the Panthers and the Bunnies this Sunday at Suncorp Stadium. Or maybe not, MG.
No, there's a little inkling that maybe after two positive COVID-19 tests up in Brisbane, they might be going into lockdown, but let's hope not. I think Plan B is ready to roll, going to Townsville, but let's cross our fingers that it stays at Suncorp.
Well, and it might work out that the little test run of State of Origin being in Townsville was the best thing that the NRL could have done if it does move up there. Look, that's a developing situation, and it seems as though both the NRL and the Queensland government are confident that Sunday's game can go ahead. But we all know how things can happen with this COVID-19, especially this Delta variant. So we will wait and see, and we'll keep you posted when we know more. Big show to get to today, MG.
Massive. It always is in Grand Final week, but there was something we've got to talk about off the top.
What's cracking?
It was the NRL's Night of Nights last night at Howard Smith Wharves in Brisbane, the Dally M Awards. Unfortunately, the attention was diverted to a couple of Melbourne Storm players as videos leaked of Cameron Munster and Brandon Smith appearing to have a white substance in their hand and on tables, and the videos obviously have been circulated around social media now, and the NRL will be launching an investigation, and off the back of Reece Walsh's arrest and subsequent confession of being caught with cocaine, it's the last thing the game needed this week.
Yeah, it pisses me off. In the biggest and best week of on our NRL calendar, that all we're talking about is some hijinks off the field. And first with Walsh, he fell on his sword. Now the rehabilitation and education can start its process, and he's a kid, and I'm not sticking up for him in any way. He was done a stupid thing. But the fact that he come out and publicly owned it is the way to start the healing already. So as for the other two buffheads, it's very unstorm-like. It's very unstorm-like to be in this situation. They pride themselves on being really covert, and they don't usually let things like this slip out. I don't care what players do in their downtime. Let me first state that. But how stupid to let someone in your inner sanctum, that is supposed to be your inner sanctum, have a freaking camera out. Have a camera out. Like, come on. Just because your season's finished, you're still on. Your game's still on. Yeah. You still got your mouth guard in, because every phone, as we always talk about, is a loaded gun.
Yep.
And no matter what we find out about what these substances were, the fact that we're all talking about it when we should have been enjoying the Dally M last night, we're talking about it today when we should be pumping up the Grand Final week, is so selfish. They've let themselves, their club, and their fans down. And as soon as they make a statement, the more, again, like Reece Walsh, the quicker we can get on and start healing.
Yeah. Well, the other element to this, on the Sunday sin bin on the weekend with Maroon and Gordy and Hoops and Kenty, James Hooper and Paul Kent were having a conversation about the status of Cameron Munster and his relationship with the Melbourne Storm.
I get the impression as though the Melbourne Storm might be getting a little bit frustrated and losing patience with Cameron, not because of anything related to his football, but just the way he lives his life away from...
He's a wildcat. I think at some point, when they're losing players and this guy's sitting there and he just continues to do things like, say things like he has been saying lately, like they were about to go into a final series when he came out and said he'd like to go to the expansion team. Mm. That's not good for team culture.
Now, that conversation was had on Sunday before these videos emerged, and it seemed quite prescient by the boys to be having that chat with this then coming out.
Yeah, the timing is right on point, because I suppose you're right. So for so long, Cameron Munster's gotten through being kind of the square peg in the circle in Melbourne Storm, because he's such a good player. But everything they talk about is culture, and so look, you've got to be careful. I mean, there's an ongoing investigation and all that type of stuff, but it's not a good look for the game when we should be celebrating and pumping up the biggest game in Sydney since 2014, or biggest grand final we've seen with two Sydney times since 2014. So, yeah, look, I bet you Bellamy and Panisi are dirty because last night that was all anyone was talking about. Yep. It was all over social media. It was all kind of the elephant in the room was was these guys, the videos being leaked. So
especially when Brandon Smith then got up on stage and had to accepted the trophy as the hooker of the year.
I don't get it. I don't get how you haven't learned. As I said at the top of this, I don't give a damn what people do in their private life because it's private. But when you invite someone into your inner sanctum who has a phone pointed at you doing something that looks like it's illegal, there's a price to pay.
Yep. Yep. We will say congratulations. Obviously, we told you a week ago that Tom Trbojevic would be taking home the Dally M medal, so that should have come as no surprise. We were spot on there. And to you, Mark Geyer.
Yes.
Who nailed the team of the year, every single player in every single position, tick, 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 tick.
Yeah, I've been social media, people asking me if I got leaked the team. No, I did not get leaked the team. A lot of people before the awards last night saying, you can't be serious. What, six Penrith players? Well, I just went on what I thought, and I didn't get the coach right. I thought Trent Robinson might have got that, but then I forgot about Bellamy 19 in a row. And as I was saying it last night, I went, of course.
Yeah, that'll get you a coach of the year nod.
Yeah, of
get
course.
You. And congratulations to Craig Poops Bellamy as he revealed his grandfather name to be.
What a great chat he is.
That was lovely. He showed a real softer side.
He did.
To Billy,
he's a good man. And that's what I feel for him after this latest drama with his players. That's all.
Yeah. All right. As we count down to the grand final this weekend between the Panthers and the Bunnies, MG, your phone lights up when the Panthers make a grand final. We lived through it last year, and it's again this year. Radio, newspapers, TV—they come out of the woodworks for you, don't they?
Well, yeah, I suppose they do a bit. It's kind of, it's a nice feeling, because you know that Penrith have gone to the last game of the year, so you don't mind doing stuff for other people if I can help them.
Well, a man on the other side of the ledger whose phone is absolutely lighting up at the moment because of his proud history with the South Sydney Rabbitohs is friend of the show, Fox Sports, Brian Fletcher. G'day, Fletch.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you going?
Mate, we are fan-bloody-tastic. How good's grand final week?
Well, I was just listening to you then, MG, about how good it is around when Penrith made the grand final. But what about the cash jobs that have just dropped? You'd get four or five on the one day. It's devastating. You know?
I'd love to be paid for every Zoom I'm doing lately. Like, come on, man. Zoom's overtaken the pubs.
Yeah, Gordy. Well, Gordy's the only one up in Brisbane, so he'd be cleaning up.
Oh, cleaning up.
Anyway, yes, boys, how are we?
Well, we're excited. Awesome. We are counting down to this. The first grand final between two Sydney teams since 2014, a year that the Bunnies finally got to lift the trophy again, Fletch. I mean, you played for Sydney Roosters 135 games and then obviously went to the rival South Sydney. How much of you bleeds Cardinal and Myrtle when they make a grand final like this?
Well, I was a tragic South Sydney fan growing up as a kid. Tragic. I remember going to the sports ground because obviously I grew up in Bondi and all my mates are Roosters supporters. And when we'd go to the sports ground and watch the Chooks and the Bunnies go, I was one out. And it wasn't until I went to East. And because back in those days, I'm growing up, South were the premier club. East were known as the Transit Lounge. And they went through the 80s and 90s. And then it turned. When South got kicked out of the comp, obviously the Chooks went on a bit of a run. And now it's come back full circle, 2014. So I'll be cheering them on, definitely. I know MG won't be, but I'll be cheering on the mighty red and green.
Well, there's so much to love about this team, Fletch. I mean, we spoke about them ad nauseum this year on the show, and for a team basically written off in more ways than one, i.e. Having 50 points scored against you once probably negates you to ever winning a comp. Well, they've had it twice this year. Then they lost their best player for 6 weeks in Latrell Mitchell. That's when I think most people got the red pen out and went, okay, put a line through them. Latrell's out. There's no chance. But what they've done the last couple of weeks, in particular the game when they last played against Penrith in their defence, there's no way you're going to write them off now.
No. I think the fact that that record that no team's ever won a competition getting 50 put on them, I think that was prior to this year. You know, we know the rule changes and the momentum and what's happened.
True, yes.
This year, probably a bit of an anomaly, but I'm with you, mate. When Latrell Mitchell was wiped out for 6 weeks, I honestly thought, I said, well, I mean, they're thereabouts, but they'll be just making up the numbers. And then out of nowhere, the defensive effort they put on against Penrith, when they've been known as an attacking side. I mean, that left edge is the most deadly in the competition. And they came out and they bashed them. And I think Penrith weren't ready for it. And that's just come off the back of Wayne Bennett. That's having him in, as a coach. It's just a huge advantage for South Sydney when they've got arguably their best player not playing.
Well, you've been mentally breaking down your co-host Nathan Hindmarsh on Fox Sports over the years. You know what it's like to play these mind games. Is Wayne Bennett the best coach you've ever seen in the game? You think he's the greatest?
I've never been coached by him at all, but what I hear from him, what I hear from other players is that he just makes it all very simple and he doesn't confuse you.
Mm.
Because we've seen in the last 10 years, the sports science and all the data that some coaches just... they just overload rugby league players, and we're not the smartest bunch of young people floating out there, you know. And sometimes you just need to say, right, run to that, tackle that, and kick there. And I know it's crazy as it sounds, but I think Wayne, and he's always surrounded himself with good coaches, and obviously South have got some handy, and Jason Demetrio, who's his assistant, I think he does all the technical stuff, and then Wayne just comes along and he's more your friend. That's my understanding of being coached by Wayne.
As former back rowers, how we used to call ourselves back rowers when we were in the second row, now they call them edge defenders and edge attackers, which blah, 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 blah. This the 2 second rowers from each team this weekend, Callum Matangi and Sua, the Kikau and Capewell. Wow. That's where the game could be won and lost.
Yeah, and then you throw Jai Arrow in, who comes on, and there are some handy back rowers. I think Kikau needs a big game. I reckon the last month he hasn't been his devastating best, but neither has Penrith at all, because sometimes he doesn't realise how big he is. He's a bit like the Manly kid, Olakau'atu.
Yeah.
They're just so big that sometimes you need to rev him up a little bit. Because Kikau, when he's on, he's so hard to tackle. And the other kid on the other side, Kalama Matangi, I think Freddie had him in his emerging team. I think he's definitely an Origin player in waiting. So you're right, MG. That these big back rollers, they are huge, mate. And when they get going, that's when Cody and Nathan Cleary and Jerome come off the back of them.
Now, Fletch, I don't know. I love when we have people on that played against MG back in his day, and to get stories. I don't know if I've ever got an MG story from you from an on-field perspective.
I've definitely got one for you. So it would have been about 9. When did you go back to Penrith, MG? Was it 98?
Yes. 99. 98, yep.
98. So I'd broken my ribs 2 weeks prior, and I didn't play the week after, but the following we were playing Penrith. And, you know, the media got hold of it, and I was getting injections. Anyway, MG, right? MG had the ball, and he ran... like, he was running at A defender, and I was like, C. He diverted and ran as hard as he could and put his head down to try and smash in the ribs. And then then I got the ball off. It was our turn, and MG stomped on my rib.
Sorry, Fletch.
He said some unsavory things to me. And but that was all part of the game.
We had a game with Blame. All the forwards had to run like a rhinoceros at you because we know your ribs were cracked.
Yeah, well, it worked.
Oh, God love you. Outstanding. So what happens with you boys on Fox? And I know you're on SEN as well with Joel on an afternoon.
Doing a great job too.
Do you guys do any – are you working on the grand final? Are you doing coverage with Fox? What are you doing this weekend, brother?
Well, no, our last show, Matty's show, is on Thursday. We've got a bit of a surprise. What we're going to do is, you know how like the World Cup and the Super Bowl, they get animals to choose which one we're going to do. Well, yes. We're going to have a surprise. We're going to have an animal live in studio, and he's 100% accurate.
Wow!
Yeah, and he's also going to not only choose the winner, but also choose the halftime entertainment.
Oh, my God.
Be prepared, boys. There's a rumour going around that Justice Crew might be there at halftime.
One of the Justice Crews in the Wiggles now.
Sorry, yes. Justice Crew minus the new Wiggle.
Minus the new Wiggle, yeah. He's joined the Wiggles.
What's that one? What's his other foot? What's Tim O'Manny? He might jump in. Tim. He might fill it. Justice Crew.
What's his song, Tim O'Matic's Loom?
Oh, God knows. You're across this stuff.
No, I don't.
Tim O'Matic, well, okay, well, there is a reason you can't miss Matty John Show on Thursday night.
The last one of the year. Make sure you tune in.
The last one of the year. Tune in. Now, Fletch, we need a tip from you, please. Give us a, obviously, you'll be tipping the Bunnies, but a scoreline and a first try score and a Clive Churchill as well, please.
Okay, Clive Churchill. I'm going to go Cody. Walkie's got the hot hand. I'm going 18-12. And I'm going to go the other side. That's where they attacked them last time. So I'm going to go Paulo, first try scorer.
Oh, nice. The moonwalker. MJ loves the to reverse it over the try line.
Dip.
All right. Well, Fletch, we appreciate you coming on. Thank you. Huge weekend coming up. I can't really say good luck to your Bunnies because I've got the Wild Panther standing next to me. So I'll just say I hope it all goes well.
No, may the better team win, you say.
May the better team win. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, you know what? I like those Penrith kids because they're quite affable. And so I won't be too disappointed if the Penny Panthers win.
Good on you, Fletch.
Outstanding.
Love you, brother.
And, of course, we're counting you down to NRL Grand Final this Sunday. Thanks to the Mitsubishi Triton. Imagine if you could take a Mitsubishi Triton out onto the field on Sunday. You'd win.
Well, it'd frighten everyone.
You're getting the hard jobs. It gets the hard jobs done. That's what it does.
I'd like to get in a Triton and drive up to Queensland and watch this grand final. That'd be nice.
Oh, that's the only way I'd go on a road trip with you. You and producer Charlie have suggested we take the show on the road before, and I said, not a chance am I spending a week in a car with you two.
No, we wanted to take a Winnebago.
Bunk in the same bed. Absolutely no chance. But if we were driving a Mitsubishi Triton, in fact, you two get in the Winnebago, I'll jump in the Mitsubishi Triton, and then we can have ourselves a road trip. That's the way to
go. Okay, sounds good.
Go and see your Mitsubishi dealer today, because the Mitsubishi Triton, nothing frightens it. Now.
Hey, best time to buy a car, only 2 weeks from lockdown. Let's get out of here. Let's get doing it.
Come on. Now.
Come on.
Last night, the Dally M Awards, I was watching.
Oh, I loved it.
Hosting and presenting these things is never easy. Now, I thought Jessica Yates and Braithen Astor on Fox League's coverage was fantastic.
If I had any critique of that setup, I would have had maybe a host in Brisbane as well.
I see what you're saying.
So Braith and Jess throw to
back
the hosting.
Forth.
Yeah, and like because they went straight to the player, and then the player had to respond on a delayed type of.
That's right. Know. Yeah, because the players and everybody receiving the awards was at this.
Event. That's been picky.
Yeah, we're being picky. All these players were at the event. Jess and Braith and Lara Pitt and Brandy and everybody else on the panel was back here in Sydney.
Yeah,
now
I like the breakdown. That was good.
But when they obviously knew that Tommy was going to clinch it with a round to spare, and the boss. Peter Vallandis.
Big guns come out. Yeah.
PVL jumped up on stage to read the final round's worth of votes. And he had a bit of a hiccup. So this is I'll let the audio speak for itself.
Sea Eagles 36, defeat Bulldogs 18. One vote. Osho Olo.
Now MJ.
New player. There's a new player for Manly.
I have raced through.
Sounds like a really cosmetic soap, like a really nice soap. Osho Olo, LA Bureau.
The scent of rugby league. Of course he meant Josh Alloway.
Of course he did.
Now, I don't know if it was a fault of the teleprompter. Maybe. Who knows? Maybe this is a case of Papalihi, and that is how Josh Alloway wants his name pronounced. Maybe.
Well, no. I think that now that he's got his nickname forever,
Osho.
He'll be now Osho Olo. Well, hey.
The camera cut.
They're going to call him the bullfighter. Olé.
The camera cut to Tom Trbojevic, who was standing on stage. And you could see him thinking,
what are
who?
What about how funny Brian To'o was last night behind the Penrith boys as I was talking with his sunglasses and stuff? Funny kid.
The most gifted physical comedian in rugby league right now, Brian To'o.
Yeah,
he was outstanding.
It was a great presentation. I thought it was great. I thought that the way they analysed it in the room, in the conference room back in Sydney, I thought all the hosts did a great job. And for what we're undertaking at the moment, a pandemic, to get it up and running with an audience was fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd rather watch the way they did that rather than just seeing somebody read votes after votes after votes as they do for the Brownlow Medal in the AFL. So well done, Peter Vallandis.
Oshé olé, baby.
Oshé olé.
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 On Triple M's Rush Hour, it's the NRL's Grand Final Countdown. It's the final
countdown. Yes, every day this week, we are counting down to the NRL Grand Final and breaking down the storylines that matter ahead of Sunday's clash between the Panthers and the Bunnies. Yesterday, we talked about the battle between the two coaches, the mind games at play between Wayne and Ivan. Today, we need to talk about your Penrith Panthers, MJ.
Yes.
Because if unsuccessful this weekend, they become a team that has lost two grand finals on the trot, and the adage of you've got to lose one to win one, now it becomes a question of, well, can they win it? Are they capable of winning it?
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. I'll just quickly go back to when we got beat in 1990. When we made the grand final in 91, I knew we'd win. I knew there was no way we weren't going to win that game. Because of the lessons we learnt the year before and how harrowing they were standing on that ground, watching the other team lift the trophy. And I keep seeing the vision of it firmly etched in my mind of Nathan Cleary when the Melbourne Storm lifted that trophy up. And he just looked so down, so determined. And now the fact they've got here the hard way, the real hard way, they had to beat Melbourne Storm to get to the grand final. I think, and look, I'm very biased, you know that.
Yeah.
But I'm also a realist as well. I think that burn from last year of the players who played in that game has fueled their fire all this year. And I think they'll win. But if they don't, let's hypothesise. If they don't, of course, mentally, if they lose, it'll be a long off season. But this team has just begun. I think it's window of opportunity. They'll be thereabouts for many years to come because of the players have signed for long term contracts and how young they are. But two losses in a row is a lot of scar tissue there if it happens. So you've got to think of both sides of the ledger.
Well, and that you're exactly right. When you look back over the years, the Sydney Roosters were the last team to lose two grand finals on the trot in 2003-2004.
Yeah,
but they won it in 2002. So it's not like there were any question marks about whether that group was capable. But you got to go all the way back to 92-93 to the Dragons, who lost two grand finals on the trot to the Broncos.
Yep.
That's the last time a team has kind of had a window and not capitalised. And we saw the Dragons back in the grand final in 96, which they lost as well. Those questions will naturally come up if the Panthers aren't capable of doing it. The other element to that is that they are going to say goodbye to some players. All the talk is about Adam Reynolds and the fact he's headed to the Broncos next year, but the Panthers, we know, are saying goodbye to Burton. Naden, who might not probably be in the 17 this weekend, he's off to the Bulldogs as well. Tevita Pangai Jr.'s only been there for a short time, but he's going to head off as well. Capel's headed to the Broncos, and Billy Kickow is a question mark.
Yeah, well, they're the type of things that you can't control. I mean, that's everyone, every year, these two teams, both the grand finalists, deal with their own dramas, i.e. players who are leaving, and let's do it for that player because they're staying. And the narrative is that let's get stuck in for them. But the cold hard facts are that this is the biggest knockout game there is of the season. A lot of players who have played in winning grand finals have a really good story to tell. A lot of players who have played in the losing grand final have a harrowing story to tell if they've never won one. It's as cut and dry as that. It's a shocking feeling when you lose one. It's the best feeling in the world when you win one. It's the best. It's the most euphoric feeling I've ever had in my life. And I've had five children. And that's when you do that with your mates. And I'm the closer we get to this game, the more I think Penrith will prevail. I'm super worried about the dangerous South Sydney team and Cody Walker and their forward pack and Adam Reynolds if he's 100% fit. But I think Penrith in the last 3 weeks, when the Rabbitohs beat them, then they had that really tough game against Parramatta, then they had another tough one against Melbourne Storm. They've done it the hard way, and I think that's what's going to steal them. I think that's installed the steely resolve they needed to win the grand final.
And as you say, you're biased, nobody is expecting you to come out and tip the Bunnies. But I will say this, MG, that there are days where I hear you tip the Panthers, and I know it's a tipping with the heart.
Mm.
But I can, the way you're talking about them, the way you're breaking it down, I know this is as much a tip of the head as it is of the heart for you this weekend. So
I'll be up front. No, honest. I didn't think they'd beat Melbourne last week.
Yeah.
I didn't think they'd beat them. I looked at Melbourne being full strength. I didn't see that coming. Like I didn't see the Rabbitohs beating Penrith in the first round of the semi. So things happen, and you've got to bounce up. I just think the fact that Nathan Cleary is in career best form, and that's on top of last year when he nearly won the Dally M medal. I think on the back of him and their forwards, I think the Panthers lift their trophy for the third time in their history.
You are talking about the Dally M halfback of the year, as announced last night, Nathan Cleary, for the second year on the trot. So, look, Sunday, we're counting down. We're counting down. Tomorrow we'll break down another storyline as we count you down to the grand final this weekend. All right, we got to get out of here, MG. Tomorrow, just a little bloke by the name of Adam Reynolds, the captain of South Sydney, will be joining us.
Oh, that most spoken about groin in Sydney will be even more spoken about tomorrow. Well, can't wait. As always, thank you so much for your ears. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.